Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 192 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we are back today with our first podcast in a few weeks. We've had a little bit of a break here between seasons. We've also been busy moving into a new office out here by Otter Creek Golf Course. We are located in the same building as the Standard at 36th development behind the Come and Go on 36th. And it's a very nice building, I must say. I think we're going to be very happy here. But anyway, over the weekend, we announced the Ankeny Fanatic all-time Ankeny football team in the pre-Jerry Pezzetti era. And this covers the years 1927 to 1968. My guest today is one of the 20 players or so who was named to that team. He was a standout on the Ankeny squads in 1967 and 68, but he moved to Virginia then before his senior season in 1969, so he never got a chance to play for Jerry, who was hired to take over the program that year. My guest went on to become a star at Mount Vernon High School in Virginia, and then went on to North Carolina, where he was a starting wingback, and he played in two bowl games for the Tar Heels. He is Ted Leverins. Ted, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Very fine. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet.
Looking forward to it.
You bet. Well, I had a chance to catch up with you a couple weeks ago, and you told me some good stories then, so we'll probably get into some of those today as well. But let's touch a little bit on your years at Ankeny. I know you told me that you didn't have a lot of memories of those years. You just played the two seasons at Ankeny. And as I recall, you said your teams weren't very good, were they?
No. We had one win, I think, in 67 and two wins in 68. And, yeah, we worked hard at it, but it was a struggle.
Right. And I know one of your teammates was Jerry Heston, another guy who went on to do very well in college. I mean, could you tell back then, you know, how good he was going to be?
Oh, yeah. Just one game that comes out to mind. Boone came down here, and I think it was our junior year, and I was the quarterback, and, of course, Jerry was running back. And Coach Bob Joy, head coach, and Boone was ranked in the top five. They might have been one in the state back then. So Coach Joy put in what they call it a spread offense nowadays, but we call it a shotgun. So we had the linemen spread out. We had the receivers spread out, the back spread out. And we just threw the ball the whole game. We lost the game, but I think it was by one touchdown. So, So the whole town of Ankeny was pretty excited that we battled the number one or two team in the state. And I can remember throwing that ball to Jerry. He had that long stride. You know, he'd catch that ball and he'd go down that field. And he's a pretty good hitter, too. So that was one memory I recall. But maybe that might have been our highlight of the two years.
Well, you mentioned Coach Joy, and I know he later went on to Tennessee Tech, and then you and Jerry actually went down on a recruiting trip there.
Yep.
Of course, Coach Joy was before my time. I was born in 64. But what do you remember about him and playing for him?
He was good coach. You know, he's worked hard at it. He just knew his game, and, you know, we worked our butts off, and we just couldn't get those wins. But overall, I really liked the guy. And I think he had aspirations to move on, too, and which he did. So I recruited Jerry and I, and we went down together to check the school out in Cookeville, Tennessee. And
what'd you think of that school?
Well, it was small. I really had no interest in going to a small school. I wanted to go to a bigger school. You know, it's a long time ago. I don't remember a lot of it. I remember they had a couple of young ladies that showed us around, went out to dinner with us, and had a good old time.
Well, we'll talk about your recruiting here in a minute. But first, let's talk about your year out of Virginia. So then you moved out to the D.C. area. You played for Mount Vernon your final year there. And, you know, going out there, was that a big transition for you? I imagine they had some good athletes out there.
They had very good athletes. You know, I was in Ankeny. We had several coaches offered for me to stay in Ankeny while my family moved out there. And Keith Hopkins, I think, was one of them. And a couple of my buddies' dads' families offered. But my mom said, if I'm going, you're going. So we went out. And, yeah, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, I think, looking back on it. In fact, the first date we got there, a couple guys came by, heard that I played football. We jumped in the car and took off and drove around. And lo and behold, they had a cooler of beer. And they started drinking beer. And I said, holy cow, I wasn't used to that.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were good guys. They ended up being my best friends. They played football, and we had a hell of a team. Good defense, good offense, and missed playoffs by a game or two. But
well, I know you moved out there in August, so you obviously had to get assimilated right away. I mean, because football obviously started right away,
yeah,
right?
August, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I ended up playing split end and a cornerback, and I do remember this. This was great. So we were working out. So they said, who wants to punt? So we had like three or four guys punting. And it was a morning practice, and the leather balls all wet. And the guy that punted the year before was one of the guys. So we start getting the snaps, and I punt that ball, and it was just a perfect spiral, 40 yards down. I mean, I did like 15 or 16 in a row. And the guy that punted the year before, he looked at me and he just walked off to the sidelines. So I ended up being the punter on that team too. Made a few mistakes through the year, but yeah.
Now, had you ever punted before, or you just?
Oh yeah,
just,
yeah. Okay. I punted here in Ankeny.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I used to do in junior high and high school. Me and my buddies punt and throw, and you know, that kind of thing. So I actually had my freshman sophomore year at Carolina, I was part of the punt team too, or a punter. Mm-hmm. So I practiced that, but they told me to go away after my sophomore year. They had plenty of punters.
Sure.
But it was a great experience at Mount Vernon. And
now your first game there, I remember you telling me, was the one against T.C. Williams, right?
Yeah.
The school that was depicted in the movie, Remember the Titans.
Sure.
So that was, and you had a big pick six in that game, right?
Pick six, yeah. Ended up winning the game 17-10. And I recall leaving the field, and there was three or four black guys behind me, and they said, hey, 24, you play basketball? I said, yeah. And he said, well, we'll get you in basketball, which they did.
Uh-huh.
We just needed to win one more game to get in the playoffs, and it just didn't work out that way. But
well, I remember you telling me, so you guys then lost the next three games, right?
Yeah.
So then your mom was not happy because you were losing, and of course you played quarterback at Ankeny, so yeah. Then I guess she went to the AD and advocated for you to become the quarterback, is that right?
Yeah, well, I think she just suggested it, and he went off to the head coach, and that Monday they called me in, and they asked, hey, did you play quarterback in Iowa? I said, yeah, I did. So I went out and tried, and I ended up being the quarterback the rest of the year and didn't lose a game. And then they ended up put offense in for me. I wasn't a very good thrower. I mean, I could throw the ball on money, but my arm wasn't that mm-hmm. strong. But we threw the ball a little bit, and quarterback right, quarterback left, quarterback up the middle, handed off once in a while. But, yeah, we played very well after that. And we ended up being 7-3, I think. We played 10 games at high school out there.
Now, at what point did you start getting recruited by colleges? Did when you were at Ankeny, did you start getting looked at, or was it more towards that senior year?
Yeah, I don't recall. Well, I take that back. Iowa, my junior year, before I went out there, Iowa got me a job at some SAC place down on in South Des Moines.
Okay.
And I worked there for that summer. And, yeah, so Iowa, I think, was recruiting me a little bit. I don't remember the coaches or anything at that time. But once I got to Virginia, yeah, I heard a lot from Iowa, heard a lot from Iowa State, Drake. And then, of course, North Carolina came in there, and several of the Virginia schools, William and Mary and University of Richmond. And every week, you know, somebody came in, you know, talking. Purdue was really after me too. I don't remember the coach's name that was in charge of Northern Virginia, but they came hard after me, and I did visit Purdue's official visit. But I pretty much had in mind what I wanted to do, you know, Hawkeyes or, you know, Tar Heels. So,
do you remember how many recruiting visits you took, whether official or unofficial?
Probably a dozen, yeah. William and Mary, the head coach was Lou Holtz, and his assistant was Bobby Ross, who ended up being the, you know, NFL coach,
right,
the Super Bowl and all that stuff. So my mom fixed them dinner one night, and they came in, hit me pretty hard about coming to William and Mary. But again, it was a small school, and I wanted to go to a big school. But, you know, 2 years later, Holtz was the head coach at NC State. So I made the right call not going to William and Mary because he ended up leaving.
That's right.
Of course, Bobby Ross did too. So I competed against him when he was at NC State. So that was pretty cool, I thought. And then, you know, like Richmond, Tennessee Tech, Purdue, Iowa, Drake, Iowa State. Then I had my appointment to Army, or West Point, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Went up there a couple times. And they didn't recruit me heavy. I don't even know if they'd recruit football. If you get your appointment, you go out to football when you get there. But I didn't see myself in the military in Vietnam. And, you know.
Yeah, that was probably a good call.
Yeah. So I thought I was going to be an NFL player, too, and I didn't see a five-year commitment after that. You know, that kind of thing, so.
Well, I remember you telling me earlier that you took a visit to Purdue, and you went the weekend of the Purdue-Iowa basketball game,
yes,
right? That must have been a heck of a basketball game.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. They said, when you want to come? So I knew Iowa was pretty good. You know, they had downtown Freddie Brown and Johnson and Vindvik, all that bunch. So I said, well, how about the Iowa game? So I sat behind the Purdue bench. I think Rick Mouth was a senior there, and watched that game, and Iowa won it. Won the conference that day. I think they were like 14-0 or something like that. They only played 14 games back then. But, yeah, that was pretty cool.
And weren't you cheering for the Hawkeyes?
Well, underneath.
Underneath.
I went up there clapping or anything like that and by the Purdue players or anything like that.
I was going to say, if they saw you cheering for them, they may have known that you weren't coming there.
Yeah, that was fun. But, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about what drew North Carolina then.
Well, you know, I liked the coaches. You know, they were after me every week. They really wanted me down there. It was up and coming. Yeah, Dooley was there, started, I think, in 67. And they improved their record every year. And when I went down there, to be quite honest, probably was the worst recruiting trip I went on. But I liked the campus. I wanted to be a math major at the time, so we went to the math school and talked to some math professors and stuff like that, and they were pretty cool. And, you know, I was between them and Iowa, and Iowa State, at Carolina, I wanted to play basketball. And they said, well, yeah, you can go out for the freshman team. And so that was a possibility, too, freshman. And Iowa State said you could play on the freshman team. And when I say freshman team back then, you know, the freshmen had their own teams. They weren't eligible for the varsity.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Iowa said no. They didn't want me to play in basketball. But anyway, that was back of my mind, too, to at least play freshman basketball. And I can remember sitting down in the basement watching Ed Sullivan with my mom. And I said, Mom, I think I'm going to Carolina. So we called everybody the next day. And then Dooley and Ron DeMelfi, the linebacker coach who was in charge of Northern Virginia, came up. And my head coach, we went out to dinner, signed a scholarship. And, yeah, that was pretty much it.
What about that recruiting trip? Didn't you, like you said, it was like the worst recruiting trip you had? Just
I don't know. It just, you know, I just didn't have a lot of fun. The guys wanted me to go out to the bars, and I wasn't a drinker, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, I was playing basketball at the time, but this is all during basketball season. I had a foot infection, and my one foot was just killing me the whole weekend. So eventually I'd go back and the doctor opened that thing up and got all this stuff out of my foot and stuff like that. So I was hurting that weekend. I just wasn't.
Yeah. Well, it's good you could see past those things that happened that weekend and realize that you still wanted to go there. But
Yeah, it was a great pick. Because if I'd have gone to Iowa in 1972, they were 0-11. Or maybe it was 71. My sophomore year had been 71. They were 0-11. And we were just getting ready to go to Ohio State that next weekend. And so we always watched film of the team that was coming up. So we had the Ohio State-Iowa game. And we watched that, in films, watching that. And I'm like, holy cow, that was not a very good team. And I guess I kept saying, man, I'm glad I'm not there. So plus Nagel was the head coach. And he got, I think, let go that my freshman year, maybe, or after my freshman year. So
I think so.
New coach, yeah.
So, well, another story you could tell would be the one with Iowa State that didn't make it into our story, because I know they recruited you as well. And you had a meeting with Johnny Majors, and he really wanted you to sign, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. We that Sunday, we were sitting in the motel room, and he said, sign this. I said, hey, I'm only going to sign for one school. And he says, well, this is just for the Big Eight. I think it was Big Eight back then. So nobody from the Big Eight can recruit you if you sign this. I said, I'm just signing one. And he was so persistent. It kind of pissed me off. So I said, no, I'm not signing it. So that kind of turned me off to Iowa State and Majors and that kind of thing. But that was probably my third choice, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, then once you got to Carolina, obviously you had to sit out that first year as a freshman. And they even switched to defense for a while, didn't they?
Yes, they did. We had 35 scholarship players, and we got down there. 15 of them were quarterbacks in high school. And I was going down there. I knew I wasn't going to play quarterback because my arm was not that strong. And so anyway, I lasted for a couple days at quarterback. And they were kind of dispersing these guys to secondary, that kind of thing. Running back, wing backs. So anyway, they put me at wing back. So I practiced wing back most of the summer before our first game. And then, a couple weeks before the first game, Coach Dooley called me in with my freshman head coach, Moyer Smith. They said, would you play defensive end for us? And my heart started beating, and I said, Jesus. I got to try to block defensive tackles and, run against tackles and defensive ends, all these big dudes. I said, oh, no. But I said, yes, sounds like a plan to me, and it was great, We played a 4-4 defense, and basically my assignment was containment most of the time. I guess they call them edge rushers now, anyway. Defensive end, had a great time chasing the quarterback around and running against the option. So I played defensive end my freshman year, and they told me if I did play defensive, they were going to move me back to offense in spring practice. So which is what they did. They moved me to the wing back, my first spring practice, and practiced there for that spring practice and then most of summer practice. And then that fall, they called me in again and said, hey, we're going to put you tailback. And I said, tailback? My thoughts were, holy cow, the guy of my freshman year was Don McCauley. He's a first-team All-American. Ran for 1,700 yards, caught 300 yards. He was over 2,000 yards in offense. And we were 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We weren't a big passing team or anything like that. And the tailback was the position.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, I'll do that. But we had this dude, Ike Oglesby, who was a stud. He was 6'3", 6'4", hell of a runner. And so I was second, third team, me and this guy, Billy Height. And so we did a lot of sideline work, those first few games. But then I ended up getting hurt. He had cramps in his calves, and he never came out of it. So Billy Height and I ended up being the quarterback for the next 3 or 4 games. And so, we won our first one, I think, first one or two. And then we went to Notre Dame and I started tailback there, and we got beat. And then Tulane the next game at home, and we got beat. But then I was a tailback against Wake Forest, and we won. And then William & Mary came in, and we barely beat them, and they thought they needed to change a tailback, and I was the one they moved to wingback. So they brought the senior wingback, Lewis Jolly, to tailback with Billy Height, and I ended up being the second-team wingback with Bill Sigler. And got to play a lot there at wingback, a lot more but that's where I stayed the rest of my career, wingback. So, but I had fun at tailback while it lasted.
Yeah. Now, when did Carolina build a new stadium? Because they don't have the stadium they play in now. It's not the same one that you played. It is the same one?
Yeah, Keenan Field. It sat about 44,000, I think, when I played there, and both ends were open. And Keenan Fieldhouse was on the south end. And then the north end was just bleachers. But, they just remodeled it and built a big field house over here on the south end where the players are now. And they filled it in, and then they filled in the south end where Keenan was for the field house was for years. And they've got a bunch of rooms and entertaining areas and stuff for recruits and stuff over there now. But, yeah, same foundation, fundamental. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, before we talk about some of the other football memories, let's touch briefly on North Carolina basketball, because I know you told me earlier that you'd run into Dean Smith once in a while, like in the field house or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I was a math major for 2 years. And then decided, well, I don't know if I can get through this math stuff. But so I ended up being a PE major, education, and I was in the field house every day. We had lab 8 to 10 every day, Monday through Friday. And, yeah, we'd run into Dean all the time, and he knew all the football player name. He was a smart dude, photographic memory, you know, all that. And he said, hi, Ted, you know. If I was with Earl Bethea was another, and he said, hi, Earl. He was a pretty class act. And, that was fun following the basketball. We had an alumni that he invited a couple football players for every home game. He'd take us out for a steak dinner. And then we'd sit right in the 50-yard line, first row, was Mr. Ostrinick, I think his name was. And got to do that once a year, and that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
But we saw a lot of good players. Bobby Jones was in my class. And basketball. So I got through that first season. I said, and the coaches came to me and said, hey, you going to go try out for the basketball team? And I said, nah, I think I've had enough football. And I'd have been there by myself in that dorm. We had a jock dorm. All the football players lived in this dorm, so I'd have been there by myself during Christmas break. And I don't know, I just didn't seem to work out right. So I passed on the basketball. I look back on that, I regret it. Should have tried, see if I'd have made that top 15 or whatever, but never did it. But, we saw a lot of good basketball.
What position do you think you could have played at that level? Would you have been a three guy?
No, probably guard.
A guard,
yeah. I mean, I played big in high school. I was always inside. Mm-hmm. You know, in Northern Virginia, when I played at Mount Vernon, you know, I was 6'2", and all these guys were, you know, every school had a 6'6", 6'7", guy, you know, and I always had to compete against a lot bigger guy.
Oh, sure.
So I had a lot more skills inside. I'd imagine I'd have to play one or two or three. I wasn't very big for three either. I was
right.
6'2", so. But it'd been interesting to see if I'd have made it, but we'd never know now.
Well, let's touch on a couple of the football memories that you already told me about when I did this story. But one of the biggest games you ever played in was at Ohio State. And for a while, you guys were winning that game. But then something kind of turned the game around, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we knocked the first second-team tailback out of the game. And in the middle of the second quarter, this guy came in and ran 245 yards against us. I don't know how many touchdowns he had, but it ended up being Archer Griffith, you know, two-time Heisman Trophy.
Right.
And when they do that 30-32, they show him that – that Carolina game is the first one they show. So it's, hello there, Jason. How you doing?
Jason Luch walking through the office here. Go ahead.
Yeah, we ended up losing 31-17 or something like that, but that's the only game we lost all year. And, we always seemed to be behind, always came back. Yeah, they called us the cardiac kids. So that was pretty cool.
So that was the same year then that you went to the Sun Bowl, right, and had a big game down there?
Yeah, Sun Bowl. Yeah, I had a big game, caught a couple touchdowns and an extra point, and counting on being the MVP, but it didn't quite work out. So the running back from Texas Tech ended up being he scored, I don't know, three touchdowns and ran some 200-some yards against us.
They can't give the MVP to a guy from the losing team, can they?
Oh, no. That's what I thought. Dang it. No, but it was all right. We won the game. That's what counts.
So. Well, I know in that one book that I looked through, your quarterback, Nick Vidnovic, talked about the 62-yard touchdown pass that he threw to you, and he got knocked down on the play and didn't see you score, and he talked about what a great run you had. So what exactly happened on that play? Because the book didn't really describe what happened. It was kind of on the sideline, but, I mean, did you have to, like, break some tackles or just outrun people?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, it's in that highlight. You should, but anyway.
I need to see that highlight.
Yeah, it was an audible up front. I was the wing back. And I heard blue 48, which was meant that we're going to cancel the play and we're going to run a blue 48. I released inside the end, and if there's a linebacker, hit the linebacker and pop out. So I popped out about 4 yards, and there was a ball, and off I went and broke a couple tackles and kept running and scored that. And then the other one was a cross pattern. Everybody was running left to right, and I was underneath and went across to the opposite side and wide open. It was pretty easy, really, that one. So, yeah, we came back. We were down, 21-9, I think. Ended up coming back, winning 31-28 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great game.
Well, back in those days, the Sun Bowl, well, that was a big bowl game. I mean, nowadays, it's kind of fallen down the ladder of the bowls, but back in those days, that was a big game.
Yeah, it was. You know, they maybe had 8, 9 bowls back then. You know, the Gator Bowl, Sun Bowl, all the big ones. I don't think the Fiesta Bowl was around yet back then. Just Rose Bowl, Rose, Sugar, Orange. What am I missing there? Orange, Sugar, Rose.
Cotton
Bowl. Yeah. So, but yeah, we ended up in the top, I think, 15 that year. Postseason or after the season. And we were supposed to have a big season the next year, and we kind of fell apart my senior year, but we don't need to talk about that one.
Sure. Well, one other quick story you can maybe tell that you told me earlier was about the time that you had that concussion on the kickoff return when you just had the snot knocked out of you, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I had two. I never heard the word concussion back then. But the one you're talking about, we went down to Tulane in the old Sugar Bowl, and I was supposed to start the game, and I was on the kickoff return team, and I was an up back. So ball was kicked to us, and it went through the arms of the deep back, and I heard this, you know, fumble, and I looked out, and there it was. So I dive for the ball and bring it in. This guy coming in with the top of his helmet cold cocked me in the side of my face between the turf and his helmet. And I stood up, and my face mask was squeezed in, and I wasn't feeling quite right, so I ran off the field, and they had to unscrew the face mask to get my helmet off. So, you know, I missed the play and got somebody's helmet, went out there in the huddle, got to the line of scrimmage, and everything just went blank. I just didn't know what the hell was going on, so I called timeout, and that was the end of my game, and so I got to play one play. Probably the worst headache I ever had in my life. And I remember one of my buddies were, you know, leaving the locker room after the game. The trainer says, "Don't let him fall asleep on the bus or on the bus or plane." And of course, I fell asleep in the plane, woke up, my headache was gone, and I practiced that next Monday. But the other one, I was thinking when we talked last time, we were at Clemson, and it was an inside reverse, and it was right at the end of the first half, and inside reverse, and I turned it up the field, and geez, there was nothing but green grass. And I says, "All right, I'm going to score 45, 50 yards, going for touch." Next thing I knew, I was on my back, and I opened my eyes, and I was on the Clemson sideline. And all these guys looking down at me, yelling and screaming at me. They're throwing a few F-bombs out and, you know, cussing at me and stuff. And he's, what the heck happened? And I remember my roommate, Robert Pratt, coming over, moving everybody out of the way, lifting me up. And I struggled across to the huddle, and they all looked at me, and they said, get off the field. And I tripped, fell out, trying to get to the sideline. So I remember after that, in the locker room, trainer looking at me. This is right at the end of half. This is halftime. And I remember out on the field, sitting on the bench, and I was looking around this huge place. The next thing I know, I'm on the airplane flying back. But I practiced that next Monday. I never heard the word concussion. So that was, I would assume I had two concussions for sure. But, you know, when they used to teach you how to block back then, you know, they told you to stick your face mask, you know, in the numbers. And, of course, keep your feet apart and hips under you. Drive like a boy dog, you know, like a monkey on a coconut, you know.
Yeah.
And so all these linemen, you know, they all had holes in their forehead. You know, and stuff, which you don't see anymore. No, that's all. Slide your head off, use your shoulder, forearm, that
right,
kind of
right.
thing. So, a lot of, I imagine there's a lot of concussions going on back then.
Oh, right? Sure. Yeah. Well, in that play you're describing then, so you thought you had this open field ahead of you. So, I mean, did you just not see this guy coming?
Oh, yeah. I had no idea what happened. So, on the films that next deck, well, I knew already because they said a guy took his forearm and cold cocked me right above the face mask.
Oh, okay.
So I watched the film, and he'd just come over, and I don't know if that's even legal now, but hit me right on the eyes, right above the face mask. My feet went up like this, and I fell back. Probably hit my head on the ground.
Oh, wow.
that was a wild one. So no touchdown, yeah. But we did win the game.
All right. Well, before we maybe move on to some other Ankeny memories that you've had a chance to watch over the years, just maybe touch real quickly on. I know you had a chance to play against Randy White throughout your career. He was a star at Maryland. He, of course, went on to play for the Dallas Cowboys. He's an NFL Hall of Famer. So what do you remember about playing against him?
Yeah, that was my senior year. He played in that split six, so he was wide out there by the wingback. And if the play was running away from me, I'm supposed to release inside him and go downfield, block middle one-third, that kind of thing. And of course, if it come my way, then I try to block him and get him inside, so lose containment, and you know we can get outside, that kind of thing, or up a you know the six hole or eight hole or whatever. But he kept crossing my face on the plays away from me, and I had struggled blocking him. So you know every game they graded as plus and minus. I had a lot of minuses that game, so this was. I know I scored maybe 20%, so it was a rough game for me.
You probably weren't the only one that had a score like that against him. So,
yeah, he's a player. Yeah.
Well, Ted, I know you moved back to Ankeny in 1975. You told me, so obviously you've had a chance to watch Ankeny players over the years, and we will be doing a more modern era all-time football team at some point, and there's so many great players to choose from there. That'll be a big challenge for me to come up with. But, as you look back through the years, I mean, who are some of the players that stick out in your mind that have played for Ankeny or even now at Centennial?
Well, my brother was pretty good.
John. Oh, yeah.
Darren Arlander, you know, I run with several old high school coaches, and of course they all have their favorite teams or the best team they think, you know, and they have theirs. I thought that team that got beat by, I think, Roosevelt in the playoffs, what, in 85 or 84, maybe it was fall 84, and they had some players, Islander and Mike Higgins and John and Bobby Jones, and there was all kinds of players on that team. Paul Rhodes, that kind of thing. Adam Benj, he was my son's age. Yeah, he was a heck of a player. Lineman, was it Bill Lee? Do you remember?
Sure, I remember the name. Yeah. I forget which year he would have played, but I know he was an All-Stater.
Yeah, in fact, I coached one year at Ankeny. when he was a freshman, there was, Glasser, Piper, Thompson, Lee, Bolte. That was a pretty good football team. Mm-hmm. And that was a year, I think, my brother's class was a year ahead of them, and then this class. That was two pretty good classes of Ankeny football. But, you know, to be honest, I haven't watched the Centennial game for several years, so mm-hmm. I'm not real up to date on
sure
who's good and who's not and that kind of thing.
But, well, those teams in the mid-80s, I know those names, but, like, I don't have a lot of firsthand knowledge of watching those guys play because they were behind me. I graduated in 83, and then I went to Iowa State, so I didn't come back for many games, you know, during that period, and then I didn't get back to Ankeny until, like, 89. So even though I know of those guys, I didn't personally see them play too much.
Well, Kevin Spitzig comes to mind back in the early 80s maybe. Or 80.
Yeah, he graduated in 80, so he would have played fall 79.
Yeah, Joe Lanning. Yeah, he's a good one. Gibson. Dave. Is it Dave Gibson? Yeah, or Dennis.
Well, no, Dave. Both of them, Dennis, oh, yeah, Dennis, obviously. But
yeah. So come to mind. I don't know. Boy. That's had some good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever see Brodell play, Andy Brodell?
Yes. Yeah. I saw him at Iowa.
Yeah.
And I did see him in Ankeny, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Ankeny's had a few backs over the years that could outrun people. But, man, he was the one guy that if he got through that line, if you didn't get a hand on him, I mean, you weren't going to catch him because he would just outrun everybody.
Yeah, but great player. You bet.
And you mentioned Dennis Gibson. I was going to tell you earlier when you were talking about playing on defense in college, a story that he told me one time that I remember. I don't know if you ever heard this story or not, but like his first year at Iowa State, you know, he was recruited, but he wasn't a high recruited guy. So, I mean, he kind of had to work his way up through the depth chart, and they actually moved him to like nose tackle his freshman year, and he just got the crap beat out of him. And I think he actually walked away once or twice and just, you know, he'd get the end of the practice. He just be so beat up, he'd just like, I'm not doing this anymore. It's like, I think he walked away once or twice. They had to like come and get him. And, you know, it's good they did. I mean, he had a great career.
Yeah, he did. Well, and speaking of that, you know, at Carolina, there was probably a dozen times I can't do this anymore. I want to quit.
Yeah.
And I think everybody there, you know, thought that once or twice, some of the hell we went through and spring ball and, some of the practices before our first game, they were tough. Yeah.
Is going from high school to a level like that, is it just so hard to adapt to? Is that why that is, you think?
Well, I think being away from home, I think that's a huge thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then going out there and getting beat up every day, you know, back then you had three-a-day practices, then went two-a-days. You know, when is this going to end? When are we just going to have one practice a day? But, yeah, the pressure, classes, and, you know, getting acclimated to all that, it's tough on everybody. Yeah, I'll bet you there's not a player that once or twice during their three or four, five, 6 years, God, I'm quitting this thing, you know, that kind of thing. Because it's a challenge. I do have a story, kind of a depressing story, but my sophomore year in Carolina, sorry to go away from Ankeny.
Oh, you're good. That's fine.
It was the Monday before our first game, and we had our short meetings. We have a team meeting. Dooley comes in and talks to us. Then we have a short meeting with our, you know, our position coach, and then we had to walk about 200 yards to get to our workout area. So it was 90 degrees out, hot, and it just decided while we were walking out there, it was going to rain on us. And it poured ass rain for like 5 minutes. From when we got out of the field house to the practice field, all of a sudden it just disappeared. And we were soaking wet. It's 90 mm-hmm. degrees, humidity. And we got another 20 pounds on us now. When you get to the gate, you got to put your helmet on and jog to your position or wherever you're going, punting or receiving or defense or whatever. And they worked our butts off that day with no water breaks. And it was one of the most miserable times I've ever been through. And so at the end of the practice, at the end of every practice, we have punt. So like nowadays, they put 11 new bodies in there, you know, and the offense comes off or whatever. Back then, the offense would stay out there. They'd take the tackles and move the tackles into the guards and the guards out to the tackles because they're a little faster. And,
sure.
So they switch them, and then the backs, the wing back and the tailback, would be lock their legs between the center and the guard, or the tackle, actually.
Right, right.
So it was drop, step, slam, and cover. Drop, step, slam, and cover. I have nightmares about that. Drop, step, slam, and cover. So we were all just dying. And so they snapped the ball, drop, step, slam, and covered. Coach said, ain't good enough. Get back here. And so we went back and did it again. Drop, step, slam, and cover. Not good enough. Get your ass back here. So we did it. We're standing there, and we're just dying. And this tackle, his name is Billy Arnold, and he looked at me and says, what are they trying to do, kill us? Swear to God, what's he telling? So we drop, step, slam, and cover. We finally get it done, and then we go to sprints. So after sprints, you have to jog off. You can't walk off the field until you get to that gate. So Billy Arnold jogged off that field that day, collapsed, and died 10 days later.
Oh, wow.
So there was a big investigation, and, you know, nothing ever. And we were 9-2 that year, so it really didn't affect our football. But that was quite a day for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something you're not going to forget.
No, boy. No.
And sadly, you know, there's been a few cases like that. That's not the only one that's ever.
No. But.
Well, before I got one or two more for you, I just wanted to do a quick promo here. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, Ted, I know you're heading down to Chapel Hill this fall for a 50-year reunion. I believe it's the weekend of the Pitt game. I'm sure you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Yep. That's going to be a great time. Really looking forward to it. And my wife and I are going to drive down. One of my closer buddies lives down there, so we're going to stay with them. And I got a close buddy in our class from Washington is going to fly down there. I haven't seen him in 45 years, probably. And my roommate's coming down, Pratt. And it's going to be a good time. So looking forward to it. Yeah. The 70, 71, and 72 teams. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm sure you've lost some of your teammates. I know the quarterback, Vidnovic, has died from cancer. Yeah. Do you know how many of the guys from your team are still around, though, or are they going to be there?
Oh, I haven't seen a number. There was only 12 of us left at the end of this. Our senior year, out of the 35 scholarships, there's only 12 of us that made it through 4 years of football.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So a lot of those guys, you know, disappeared early and really don't. But I expect to see most of those guys, those 12 that made it through that some of them 5 years got redshirted. I was lucky enough never had to get redshirted. So, but there was a few of my class that got redshirted and spent 5 years down there. But it's going to be fun. Yeah.
One last thing, Fran. I know your brother was in some NFL camps. He tried to get to you know, pursue a pro career. Did you ever try to go that route, or were you just done at the end of your college career?
No. Coach Julie called me in just one afternoon. He says, hey, there's a guy here, I don't remember his name, a coach from the Birmingham, either Stallions or the Americans. It's the first year of the World Football League. They were just getting going, and I sat down with him, and he says, hey, we'd like to sign you and for 1 year for $25,000. I about fell out of my seat. $25,000. Holy, that was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I signed the contract right there. And of course, I had to make the team. But anyway, they had a summer practice down in Birmingham. So I flew down there And it was a long weekend, like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we flew back Sunday. I think this maybe been in June or July. So I went down there, and we practiced. We had helmets and shoulder pads and shorts, I think. Yeah. So real one, I can't remember the guy's name. He was a big-time quarterback in San Francisco 49ers. Well, he had signed with the Birmingham team. So I was a receiver, and I had a 15-yard curl. So I did this curl, and I'm curling back around. He threw this ball at me, and it went through my hands and hit my shoulder pads, and it bounced 15 yards back to the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
About knocked me over. I said, ooh, this is different here. So anyway, I got through the 3 days. What was his name, Brody maybe? I don't know. I can't remember. But anyway, so but about 2 weeks before I was supposed to report for summer camp and fall and all that, they sent me a letter and put me on waivers. So I went to Coach Dooley and sat down with him, and he says, well, I can get you a tryout with the New Orleans Saints or the Washington Redskins. And I thought about it, and I said, oh, man, I was 12 hours short of my degree. So I says, Coach, could you keep me on as a coach recruiter for this semester so I can get my 12 hours and get my degree? And he said, sure. So that was the end of my football career. And I got my degree and helped him coach and, you know, recruit players for that fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back in 75. So that was my pro football. Didn't last very long.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, Ted. Well, hey, I've enjoyed catching up with you again. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for sharing your memories, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate it. It was fun. And you bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Yeah.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank Ted Leverins again for coming in today. I enjoyed hearing about all of his memories of playing at Ankeny and out in Virginia and also at North Carolina. Enjoyed that conversation. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.